seated, and let's go to Leviticus 23. Verse 23 and 24 and 25. You know, we do have the Feast of Trumpets here upon us. And so with this, and you know, we go over this every year because we do know that Passover has been fulfilled. It is going to continue to be fulfilled in people's life who don't know Yeshua as their Savior. Shavuot is still being fulfilled for those who don't understand the Torah or have the filling of the Holy Spirit. You see this happening. But also you see that this season here has not been fulfilled in that that trumpet blast, because even though we don't know the day and the hour, but we can know the season because that's what he tells us about in these seasons. So, just like what we said before, and we have been ministering this portion for years and years and years, and here's the key. The prophets ministered, pleaded, talked to Israel over and over again. And they still miss Yeshua. And they're still looking for him to come. Where we, as now there's been myriads, it says this, myriads, it uses many, many, many of the Jewish people of that day, like Paul and Peter and a lot of them, did see. Even though it took Paul a little bit of convincing, with losing his eyesight for 3 days, amen. Sometimes we need convincing. And that's not a bad thing as long as we don't lose our soul. Amen. And this is the key of what this is really about, is because we don't want to miss that trumpet sound. Because I'm telling you, when we go back and we got Yom Kippur 10 days, there's going to be 10 awesome days. But these days of awesome days is not a pleasant time. This is a time for people that's going to be scrambling to figure out what in the world's going on. This is what I consider Yahweh's mercy into people's lives before the closing of the gates, which is going to be on that 10th. Amen. Because I've always said this, if you're prepared to go through the tribulation, then you're prepared to go up. But if you're only prepared to go up and not prepared to go through, this is one thing that Tammy's dad and Sandra's dad taught me, Bill taught me, that we need to be prepared for the coming of the Father. Because guess what? How do you really know what it looks like? You only know what it looks like from the Scriptures. That's the only place that you're going to get these pictures from. If you go to Books a Million and you go on the bookshelves and you get all of the things out there, you're going to miss it because they're not painting the proper picture. The picture comes from the Scriptures itself, and only from the Scriptures. And I'm telling you, it's not easy to understand, especially if you don't understand the Torah. If you don't understand the feast, you can't understand what he's talking about in these end times. So let's start with the Scripture in 23, in Leviticus 23. It says this, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the people of Israel, saying, In the seventh month," that's the month that's coming up for us, not the month on the Gregorian calendar, but on his calendar, "on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest." So he's showing you a day of solemn rest, that we don't work this day. And then what does he say next? A what? A memorial. What some of the other Scriptures might say? A remembrance. That's right. A memorial is a reminder of something. The Father has to give us reminders. This is why we go through Passover. This is why we go through these feasts, is because it's a reminder to us, because he's cyclical. He goes in cycles. He's not linear. Because if you go linear, you start forgetting time behind. This is why history is so important. If you forget your history, you will repeat it. And you will repeat all the ugliness that goes with it. This is why the stories, this is what Paul says in Scripture, they've been written down for us that we don't really make the same mistakes that they did. Paraphrased it, but that's what he's saying, because we will make the same mistakes. I don't know why, if the wheel's already been invented, why we want to invent one. You see what I'm saying? Because we're going to put all of this time and effort into it, and we're going to be so far behind when it's already there. He's laid the groundwork. So here is a memorial, a reminder or a remembrance. And then it says, proclaim with the blast of trumpets, an awakening blast, a holy convocation. Holy convocation is where we are to gather together. We're to have this as a community together. And it says, you shall not do any ordinary work. You shall present food offerings to Yahweh. And so what we do is Paul said it like this in Romans. We bring ourselves as living sacrifices today, holy and acceptable to Him. We are that offering. We are to bring ourselves. So we need to be what? Preparing. This is what this 6 month was all about. Is preparation, getting ourselves ready for the feast. Because guys, that trumpet's going to blast one day. And I'm telling you, you don't want to be like the five foolish virgins. There were 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. 5 didn't make it in. But they were all virgins. They all professed that they knew who Messiah was. And they all professed, I've got a great relationship. You know, I heard this song the other day on Christian radio, and it's always about Yahweh or Jesus or Yeshua loves me. He loves me. He wants me. He wants me. But my question is what is He saying about me? I know He does. He proved it. He died for me. But what am I doing? What is He going to say? Because there's going to be a book open one day. And when that book is open that day, He's going to read really what I think. That's where we got to have our focus is, and I need to ask the Father, what do you think about me? And what do you think? You know, because I know what you've done for me. Amen? Need to get our minds sort of put in a good position. All right, let's go to Joshua chapter 4. You know what? I have the whiteboard. It's got the scriptures on it if somebody wants to bring it up. I just jump right on into this. I was just so caught up in the worship and praise. That was just awesome. I forget a lot of things when that happens because this is real important. All right, in a memorial, what I wanted to do was I wanted to use Joshua 4. It has nothing to do with trumpets, but it has to do with a memorial. Because a memorial, every time you see these feasts, you'll see this word memorial, these reminders. Because if we don't remind one another what these seasons are about, it is too easy to forget and let your guard down. Do you know the reason why I say this? And I know we go through this every year. Some of you may be new. You're probably going to hopefully be excited that we're ministering this. For those of you who's been in here long, you know, for a long time, it's like, here we go again. But this is the reason why these reminders are there, is because Adam was created as the son of Elohim. This is before the fall. Before the fall, he was sinless. But yet, he didn't guard and keep. When he didn't guard and keep the garden, Satan himself, the serpent, got into the very midst of the garden, which that means he got into the holies of holies of everything. Our Heavenly Father was meeting with Adam in the cool of the day. So what I'm saying is we as eldership and we as leaders here, it is and fathers and parents and all of that for our children, it is up to us to guard and keep what the Father has entrusted to us. That's what this is about. This is why these reminders are there, is because we don't want to miss that trumpet blast. So I'm going to use the story of Joshua, verse 1. It says, when the entire nation had finished passing over the Jordan, and Yahweh said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe, a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place the priest's feet stood firmly. This is where the priests were standing when they was taking the ark on the other side, going into the promised land. And bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel. How many tribes were there? 12. So how many? He chose 12 men, one from each tribe, to represent the nations. From whom he appointed a man from each tribe. And Joshua said, press on before the ark of Yahweh your Elohim in the midst of the Jordan. Take each of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel. And this is what he said. How many times do we see these words like Shabbat? What is the Sabbath? It's a sign. It's a sign between us and him. you will see that he has, through the scriptures, he's placed these signs, these markers, these memorials for reasons. And he says, now this shall be, or this may be a sign among you for what? When your children ask in time to come, in other words, your generation and that generation and the next generation, when they asked in those times to come, what do these stones mean to you? Now, where have we heard this before? There's a feast where there's four questions and the children asked. It's at Pesach, it's Passover. And he says, why on all other nights we eat great things, but tonight you give us bitter herbs? You remember the questions? It's because it is to remind them, why do you eat these bitter herbs? It's to remind you the bitterness of sin and the bitterness of bondage where you came out of. So they're placing these stones here because where did you just come from? These are why the stones are placed there, is to remind them of something. Because we have a tendency as people to want to go backwards. And these stones are there at the very place because you know what? You may know, but your children or your children's children or your great-great-great-grandchildren who didn't experience the Exodus, they didn't experience the bondage, this is why you teach them. This is why we teach our young people. When our young people are raised in here, you know, they're not raised usually, hopefully and prayerfully, not a life like we were raised in. Amen. To where really we know what a sinner is. Amen. We don't have to hesitate. We've been there. Y'all don't look at me crazy. Like y'all ain't never been to a ZZ Top concert. Come on now, work with me a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Don't. No, I know I got to edit that. But here's the deal. I'm just saying, even some of you younger generations knew that sound. I saw you. I'm just preaching it. So what I'm saying is, but these are reminders. This is why the gray head, this is where we, I hope it stays gray longer than it falling out. But the gray heads, here's the thing. This is where we are to remind these younger generations, don't go back across that Jordan. You see these stones. These stones are placed here for a barrier. Don't go there because it ain't good. You're in the promised land. Now they will all have to accept Yeshua as their personal Savior whenever the Father visits them at that proper time. But guys, we are to be as a community, we're to be like in the promised land. Our community should be, we should be living like this. We should be teaching this. We should be showing our young people. We shouldn't be living like we're on the other side of the Jordan or back in Egypt. Amen. And that's why these stones are here. These stones are here to remind that generation, but not only that generation, but the generations that's going to come way before them. Because our children matter. And if we don't know that, we definitely seeing that in this day and time. So that's why these stones were placed there as a memorial or a reminder. And it says, then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before you, the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel as a memorial for how long? Forever. I'd like to know if they're still there. They probably moved by now since all the wars. But they were there. And you know what? If Israel would have obeyed Yahweh's commandments, they would have never went into captivity. I know those stones would still be there. Because that's the way he said it to be. That's why a memorial is so important. That's why we're teaching this. This is why we go over this every year in a cycle. There's so many things that the Father does for us as a community, and he grows us. Every year, we can learn something new. But it's just like some of these songs that they were singing today. We can't just be singing words. We have to be the words. We have to experience a relationship with Yahweh, not just sing about Him or sing up to Him or sing towards Him. It has to be that heartfelt relationship, and I sensed and I felt that today. Amen. Especially in that last song. Man, I was getting after it. All right, where do we want to go? Let's go now to Psalms 47. Psalms 47, Because guys, I just want to tell you, as you're going to sign, we've been going through the Wicked Lamp. We've been going through the book of Revelation. And you know at these end times, it's going to be ugly. And it's going to be hard. But here's what this message is for us today. We have to know that our confidence is in Him. Not that we just say that. We have to know that. You have to know it, because when it's time, when the pressure comes, then you're going to know, are you going to stand or are you going to squeal? You're going to do one or the other. Verse 2 in Psalms 47, and Yahweh the Most High is to be feared. This is the first thing He's saying. Either you're going to fear Yahweh or you're going to fear man. If you're going to fear man, you got a lot of work to do. And we better get to doing it. Because if you fear man, you're going to do whatever man tells you to do. In whatever form, whether it be government, whether it be religious or economic. Because that's the one world system. He's saying right off the bat, He's the Most High. We are, and He is to be feared, and we need to fear Him. A great King over all the earth. He subdued people under us and nations under our feet. He's letting us know here that He fights for us. If we will just get in line with Him and follow Him, He will fight our battles. He chose our inheritance for us in the pride of Jacob, whom He loves. He chooses, and you know what we need to say? I do. This is a wedding. He says, will you marry me? I do. Yes. This is what He's saying. He done the choosing. Elohim has gone up with a shout. That word is teruah. That word is blast. That's what the blast of an awakening blast. The feast of trumpets or teruah, Yom Teruah, that's what this is. Is He's gone up with a blast, a teruah, and Yahweh with the sound of a what? A trumpet, which is the shofar. We better know these sounds. And then what does He say? Sing praises to Elohim. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Four times He mentions singing praises. So when He, you know, usually when He says it twice is a doublet, you need to pay attention. But when He says it four times, He's telling you this is where your armor is. This is where your strength is singing praises to Him and not relying in your own strength. He done the choosing. Now we know that when He chose Jacob, we understand what He's saying is He chose Abraham. Going back to Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3. It says that He made Abraham a great nation, and He said, and in you all the nations will be blessed. This is where Romans 11, Paul is saying that there's an olive tree, there's a tree. The natural branches got cut off, and here the wild olive branches, which is the Gentiles or the nations, by accepting Yeshua as the personal Savior, we're grafted into that tree. But even the natural branch was cut off. They've got to be grafted back in. So it's not that we're they to look like us or we're to look like them. We're to look like Him. That's what this is about. And this is the big great divide in the fight, is whose right is it to rule? Who is this? Who is that? So we're to look like Yeshua. We're to look like Yahweh is supposed to make us look. Amen? So this is the grafting in. This is why we belong to Israel. We are Israel. Did not Paul said all Israel is not Israel? Just because you go by a natural birth? It's about being grafted in. It's about knowing who the Messiah is and accepting Him. Four times in verse 6, praises. For Elohim is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. Now, I want us now to go to Acts 16. But I want you to know something here. Singing praises means one thing, that we show that our confidence is in Him. I'm going to let that sink in just a moment. Are we confident in Him? That's the big question that I have for us today. Where is our confidence? Is our confidence in our bank account? Is our confidence in alone? Good insurance because we got a good job? Is our confidence, You know, in Yahweh and Him alone, and whatever comes our way, that's what I'm looking. Praise, praise, praise. And I said, so confidence in Him is who we serve. This is the big thing as we go into Paul, into Silas. All right, Acts 16, verse 25. But before I read that, I just want to tell you this part to lead you up to it because there's so many scriptures. Paul and Silas were ministering the gospel of Yeshua. And in ministering this gospel of Yeshua, they were happy, but it didn't end so happy because they were taken and they were beaten. They were beaten for the gospel's sake. He knew who his confidence was in. And he knew that it wasn't him who had the offense because Yeshua tells us all, it's not you that they hate. It's me because they hated me first. So when the gospel of Messiah is going out, so Paul and Silas is going out and ministering this gospel. Guys, Paul and Silas is not being just talked about. They don't have their feelings hurt here. They are being beaten. They have open wounds and all of that on their backs. Then they're thrown into prison, not cleaned up. Okay, I'm trying to give you a picture here of what's going on here. So now Paul and Silas are in prison because they feel convicted that they need to bring and minister the gospel to the nations. And now they're thrown in prison. So let's see what happens to them in prison. Most of you know the story. It says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and what? Singing hymns of praise. They were praying and singing hymns of praise. They were not grumbling and complaining. And they were not just telling everybody how things are just not going right for them. They were praying and singing praise. Praise, 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 praise. They were singing praise to Elohim. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open to everyone's chains, and everyone's chains were unfastened. If you're bound today, sing praise. If you got things in your life that's got you down, sing praise. Because sometimes in our life, because of the stupid mistakes that we make, the decisions that we choose to do, and all of the above, we build a foundation. And that foundation needs to be broken. Singing praise and honoring Him and praying and singing praise will start the earthquakes in your life that's going to break this ungodly foundation in our life. And then we can stand on the rock, who is Yeshua, and that's the one that we need to be standing on, is that foundation. See, a lot of us as believers, we can repent and we can go through our life, but you know what? We still carrying around that old foundation, or at least parts of that old foundation. And the Father is saying, you need to break that up. But how do you break it up? Praise Him. Praise Him, sing Him, worship Him, and allow the Father to bring the earthquakes in your life that needs to be brought in your life, and it's going to be a good thing. Shakening's a good thing when it's shakening off all the things that's not supposed to be on you. Because what's left is what's supposed to be sanctified and purified. Amen. So don't be afraid of the shakenings. The shakenings are good. Some of us need to be rattled and rolled. Amen. That's just the way it needs to work. Just shake this stuff off of us. That's why these cycles are here. Look, some people can go through a cycle and you get it. Some of us, it just takes us a while. But hang in there, because the key is that you get it. Amen. Hang in there. Do not let go as we're going through the dishwasher. Amen. Or the dryer. There's different cycles. Yeah, the dryer's got cycles. So they're singing praise. In an earthquake, it shakes the very foundation. Verse 27, when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Why do you think he was about to kill himself? Because he was responsible. Because if they would have escaped, one of them would escape, they would have killed him. Whatever happened to just losing your job? You know what I'm saying? And we clamor for the old days. Okay. He's going to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Now that's a miracle. If you've ever been around prisoners, it's fight or flight. And chains come off and doors opening, they're moving. Okay? But for them to all be there is a miracle in itself. And he called for lights and he rushed in. Trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Praise, listen, the very praise of Paul and Silas brought salvation to a heathen, brought salvation to a commander over a jail. This is no little person here. This is a person that's got authority over this jail. And yet, something happened in that shaking. That it shook this man's faith. Verse 31, and it says, they said, "Believe in the Master Yeshua and you will be saved, you and your household." Now this is a great thing. Not only you, but all that's in your house. Because what he's saying here, that this jailer, being a man of authority, had a lot of people affiliated with his household. Verse 32, and they spoke the word of the master to him together with all those who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night, he washed their wounds. See, it shows you that their wounds are not even washed. You're talking about people, and I'm going to tell you, most of us, I'll stop right there just for a second, most of us has been beaten and battered and all of that, we'd be complaining. You know, where's my rights? You know, you can't treat me like this. We go through all of these things because it's about us. Don't you know who we represent? And we go down and we give them a laundry list full of stuff. So it shows you here that this jailer is now taking care of their wounds. Something happened that transformed this man's life to where now he was in authority over them. Now he's a servant. Can you see how that transformation happens? Awesome. Because not only did he get saved, his whole household. And they spoke the word of the master to him together and with all those who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night, still at nighttime, washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized. And he and who? All of his house. Isn't it amazing that there's no hesitation, there's no waiting? They went, it's still nighttime, it's not even day. There's a lot of things happened that night. And it all started at midnight. It didn't start like 7 o'clock in the afternoon. It started at midnight, and there's a lot of transformation happening. And it said, and he brought them into his house, and he set food before them, rejoiced greatly, having believed in Elohim with his whole household. Guys, this is what these feasts and festivals are about. You know, I really was. I was sitting here, and you know, we were sitting here praising, especially in that last song. And I'm knowing what I'm going to be ministering here. And I'm like, man, if he earthquakes, is he going to destroy the building? You know what I'm saying? Because I'm sensing, and I know that a lot of times when we worship and we praise, we want to see a manifestation of something happening, you know, in our lives, in the community, whatever's happening. Because our heart goes out to the people. our loved ones and all of that who are lost that don't know Yeshua, our loved ones who are struggling with addictions, our loved ones that's going through whatever they're going through, and we're there fighting for them and we're there praying for them. But I got to thinking, one thing that I hadn't been doing, I've been doing the praying for our people. I'm going to start praising for our people. I'm going to start praising and I'm going to start singing praise. I might be running all over the road, but that's fine. They can give me a breath test. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, but it's prayer and praising. We do a lot of praying for our people, but are we praising? Are we praising? Because here, not only was there prayer going on, there was singing and praising going on, and the Father intervened on behalf of these two men that's in this jail. We need an awakening to happen. Now, we were here Tuesday night. We were praying for our country. We were praying for our people. And we were interceding for them. And we're going to continue. We're continuing to do this. But the thing is we need to introduce some praising with our prayer time. We need to try to get some praising into this and thanking and praising the Father. Because I've always said this. Are we praying about things more than we're talking about it? Because a lot of times we will usually talk about situations way more than we pray about it. If we can pray and praise about it more than we talk about it, the subject might not come up. Because answers start happening. The heavens start opening and He starts touching the lives of the people because that moves Him. Because I'm seeing to where He has placed memorial stones. I'm seeing to where He places memorials because He wants us to remember not to go back into Egypt. But He deserves and He covets our prayer and our praises to Him. And so in this section, I was going to go to these other scriptures. You guys know these scriptures here. Been in church all our life. We know that there's going to be a trumpet blast. We know in 1 Corinthians we're looking for that day whenever we can say, death, where is your sting? You know, because we're going to be changed in the twinkling of the eye. That's what it says. And for those who have gone before us, the resurrection is a twinkling of an eye. There's not a thing to where somebody has gone before us that they're there for decades. There is something because in the heavens where Yahweh lives, there's no time. It's eternity. We're encompassed by time because of where we're at and because of what Adam did. We're encompassed by time, but there's going to come a day that when after we do our little Yom Kippur and we do our Sukkot, we're in a timeless situation. There's no more time we're going to be confined to. And this is the beautiful and the blessed, because during these times, I am looking for, because I'm going to tell you, I've had a rough Elul. I don't know about you, but... And it's not that every 6 month or every Elul that you are to have a rough time. Sometimes some of them is rougher than others. But the thing about it is, but the Father's in control of what He's doing, especially of the things that we've been teaching. And just like what we said here, sometimes there's earthquakes in our life that shakes because there's stuff that needs to be shaken off of us. And that's the way it should be. That's the way He does things because He knows us. He knows we're hoarders. Okay? He knows that we're a hoarder. He knows that we will take everything of the flesh with us into the kingdom if we can fit it in there. But He's telling you, leave your luggage outside the gate. It ain't coming in here. I got all new stuff for you. I got new clothes. I got all new equipment. I got new everything. Don't even bring gold in here because we got that to walk on. You know what I'm saying? That ain't even good enough to come in here. You can come in here, but we're going to walk on that. And gold to us is probably the most precious thing. But yet we walk on that. So the thing is just to know that if the very most precious thing to me and you is gold and we're walking on that, He's got something way better for us than what we could ever bring into His place. Leave that stuff outside because all that will do is corrupt. Right. Amen. And so He's after those things that are not corruptible. And that's doing His ways, following His ways, ministering to His people. But look, I just really want to encourage us. Not only do we pray, let's start praising. Amen. Let's start praising equal to our prayer. Let's start praising and see if the Father won't do some earthquakes in our life for the people that we love. Amen. Amen. Let's close in prayer.
Redeemer of Zion, the glory.